food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
I'm Melody.
Wendy Wilson will be joining us in Apothecary Herbs in just right after we get the market report completed. And a lot of things to talk about today, but first let's get to gold up 1270 currently. Had a nice day in gold off its high of 1146, looking at around 1142. Spot market closed just a tiny, slightly lower than the 1142, but in the aftermarket New York spot price, we're looking 1270 at 1142. Silver up 35 at 1475. Platinum was up $25 at 884. Palladium was up $19 at 513, almost a 4% increase for palladium. Big hit on the dollar today, 1.56 to the downside at 97.25. And the opposite of that, crude oil was up 250 at 32.38. The paper markets today was in negative territory most of the day by triple digits, but welcome to the New World Order, the Plunge Protection Team, 183 to the upside at 16,336. The NASDAQ was still down, though, about 12 points at 4504. The S&P was up 9 at 1912. 10-year yield still at 1.88. Euro was the beneficiary of the lower dollar, 1.11, and that was up 1.71. And the European markets, Japan was down over 3%. Both London and Germany were down about 1.5%. I think Hong Kong got whacked last night pretty heavily. I don't have those numbers, Asia Pacific. Let me pull them up here. The Nikkei was down 3%. The Hang Seng was down 2.34%. 2.34%. China's market was down just slightly at 27.39. And let's go ahead and get started right away with Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. She always brings us such great information that you need to know. So good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about memory eraser drugs today.
I knew that's what you were going to talk about, but I'd forgotten.
Well, Modern medicine is actually working on a class of new drugs that can help wipe the brain clean for bad memories. That's what they're promoting it for, you know, to help people with post-traumatic stress, anxiety disorders, and so on. So the problem is the drug offers a lot of side effects, and they're worried that it could remove all fear from a person, you know, and fear tends to be one of those human instincts that can keep us safe from time to time. So right now they're just testing the drugs on lab animals, and they've got some interesting theories on how this is going to work on humans. So it's almost like they're doing brain surgery, but without the incision.
It's like a lobotomy without the knife.
Right. Well, what they revealed is that these drugs remove bad memories by altering the brain's DNA. So according to Nature.com, when humans experience a traumatic experience, it will leave a mark on the brain, which is difficult to erase. The longer the memory remains, the more ingrained it becomes. So scientists are proposing to remove these traumatic memories with chemicals, removing them chemically. So therapists tend to work with folks that have, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, and they use what is called extinction therapy. And what that is they expose the person to the thing they fear the most to desensitize them to it. But it doesn't always work, and sometimes it can make the situation worse. And that type of therapy has to be done within 2 weeks of the trauma, or it's not very effective. It's almost like the brain keeps reliving it the longer the memory stays there. So according to all the scientific research, Al and Melody, if a person gets abused or experiences the horrors of war or has some other trauma, the memories remain in the brain. They're recorded in these chemical markers in the brain DNA genome. So scientists say they've successfully been removing chemical markers such as this in mice with a drug. So how does this drug work? Well, it blocks the brain's specific memory by chemically disrupting the memory that's associated with that companion emotion. But they're not really sure, you know, if this is going to have, you know, lasting effects. I mean, I'm asking, you know, how do they know which DNA to target, you know?
So the
drug,
that.
Yeah, right. So what this drug is, an experimental drug for this particular purpose, but it is a drug already on the market. It's called histone deacetylase inhibitor. And what they use it for currently is for cancer patients, okay? But they say the drug interferes with the function of histone deacetylase. It's an enzyme protein amino acid thing they say is responsible for gene regulation and those traumatic memories. So what's important to understand is that they're doing a bit of guessing here in manipulating these brain chemicals with this drug. So the inhibitor drug can influence transcription, which is involved in a lot of other biological processes. So it seems that science isn't sure if the histone deacetylase inhibitor will influence specific or even global gene expression throughout your entire body. So they're still working on that. So if you get this drug, scientists says they want to influence on multiple levels and control the processes in DNA with the ability to regulate memory. So they're targeting the amino acids they think will wipe out the bad memories. But you know what, Al? Melanie, they think this may be irreversible once they do it. So there's a question as to whether the drug can influence either intelligence, because the drug has what they say is negative consequences on gene transcription. So it implies that the drug will have some bad side effects and the patient will have to suffer them. If it messes with enzymes and amino acids, it could be involved also in this key regulation for gene expression in a lot of developmental processes, and also, according to research, also could be involved in the state of disease. So how that will influence your immune system is unknown. So they're a bit concerned of the unforeseen circumstances, but they're still testing it. But according to the U.S. Library of Medicine and National Institutes for Health, this particular drug does alter functions of regulation key genes downstream well, which means that alters other DNA. So a lot of drug research yet to be done on this developmental prototype, but science is looking forward to exploiting this cancer drug and treating other various human diseases with it. Any questions?
And by exploiting, you mean making money.
Well, okay, yeah, that's pretty much how it is. Well, the researchers at MIT have been conducting these tests with this histone diacetylase inhibitor on lab animals, rats. Let's see, it was neurologist Li Hu Si. She's an MIT person involved in this memory modification stuff. And what they're worried about is that it may have too broad of an effect. So they're concerned that this drug could have the equivalent of trying to remove a splinter with a shotgun blast, you know?
I understand, but if you can make money off of it, that's the chance we have to take, Wendy.
Right. Right. Well, she was quoted in the Journal of Cell regarding this work as if we inject you with a single dose of this drug, it actually is sufficient to influence neuroplasticity, which is another way of saying we're going to turn off some of your DNA in your brain with this drug.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm asking a bunch of questions. Here are the questions I'm asking. If this drug turns off bad memories, will it interfere with the brain's ability to form new memories? Will the drug diminish or remove the ability to perceive fear? And although fear is an unpleasant thing, it is also an instinct, so fear can be a gift that can preserve life. And if God gave us this gift of fear, do we really want a drug that attempts to make the brain unlearn fear? And science already admits it doesn't know what the unintended brain circuits will be affected by the drug. So is there an antidote to it? And if animals can exhibit post-traumatic stress, is it like humans? And if not, you know, what's the answer to adequately answer the safety questions? So according to the U.S. Library of Medicine, National Institute of Health, they answered some of those questions on the histone diacetylase inhibitors. They said that it does alter gene expression globally, and therefore it affects memory processes in a non-specific manner. So in the event that science states they've identified, let's say, specific genes that will alter your bad memories, it may still be a gamble as to whether the drug will compromise other brain functions. So the drug also influences the person's ability to mentally process fear, anxiety, panic, and other fear-related reactions, including phobias. And there's really no antidote, according to them, which suggests that the DNA gene expression that's altered by this drug in the brain could be permanent. So they have a lot of testing yet to do. I personally would never accept this, but I'll stick with the bad memories, thanks much. At least I know what I'm getting, you know?
I've got a question for you. If this has to be applied within 2 weeks of when the traumatic event took place?
Well, that's if you're doing extinction therapy. That's with therapists, you know, kind of desensitizing you to your fear. In other words, if you had, a fear of snakes or spiders, they would condition you through therapy to, you know, come into close proximity to those things you are fearing and maybe – you know, taking control of them.
It'll put you in a box full of snakes. Is that what's going to happen?
Get over it, right? Well, that's how they do it. They try to desensitize you, and the sooner the better, you know. But
so it's too late for people who voted for Obama.
You know, I don't know.
Just in case that's a traumatic, they may think that's a traumatic. That was a traumatic mistake. I'm just joking about that. But where it really gets serious, to my mind.
Yeah.
Right. Is the potential for giving these drugs to soldiers in combat.
Right, and then they have no fear. Then they have no fear. Think about that.
I understand that. They have no trauma after they've seen whatever they've seen, done whatever they've done, just pop a little pill and forget all about it.
Right.
I don't know. You know, this is the brave new world, all right.
Well, I think it would be scary if they just went ahead and gave this to soldiers because they wanted them to have no fear. And you know, I guess for whatever purposes they need them to execute, that's a scary thought too. So I just know that, you know, emotional duress, you can do a lot with nutrition to help your body deal with duress and stress. You can actually, a lot of nutrition can reduce your cellular stress on the cellular level and lessen your symptoms of, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. I like to use organic vitamin Bs to support the central nervous system because they run on Bs. And then I like to use herbs that take the tension out of the nervous system so it removes anxiety. So you can sleep better and things like that. Is it gonna make everything all right and go away? Probably not all of it, but it sure will have a positive impact where you can cope and not have to risk your brain to DNA alteration.
I don't know if you remember seeing Ghostbusters, the movie.
I did see that movie. Yes, I did.
Uh-huh. And they ask, I can't remember his name, but after they got done defeating the giant marshmallow creature, they asked the little guy there, we'd like a sample of your brain. And he says, okay. I don't know if you remember that or not, but they're going to drill a hole in his brain. Oh, yeah, sure. This reminds me of that. We're going to – good Lord.
A little donation of the gray matter, no problem.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's like herbs like valerian root will take a duress, a stress, anxiety, panic attacks away. Your organic vitamin Bs you're going to find in things like nutritional yeast, which is not going to give you candida, but it's pure vitamin B. It's awesome stuff. So, I mean, if people are interested and learning how to, you know, deal with it in a natural way, not an unnatural way, we have tools for them at the powerherbs.com website, or they can simply call us, and we'll send them a free catalog. The number is toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And guess what this month is, Al, Melanie?
February?
Yes, but it's also Heart Health Month, so they can save 15%. On our fabulous and famous heart formulas, as well as anything else they need, on the website or simply call and ask about the discounts. 15% off now through Sunday the 7th. If they're online, they can use the smart code SMART16 in their website shopping cart and get the discount.
All right, Wendy. Thank you. Look forward to talking to you next Wednesday. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Wendy will join us again next Wednesday. And in the meantime, Melody and I are going to take a break for some commercial announcements, and we will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. easy to use, and portable in a one-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just wanted to share with the listeners what we were talking about off during the break, and this is kind of in line with what Wendy was talking about. We're just going to spend a little time on before we get to some economic news and so forth. But there's an article in the FDA, a statement from the FDA about babies with genes from three people could be ethical. Really? And it's like they're just in there trying to change things. There was a 12-member panel. It was assembled by the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine. They released this report today about how they're going to pursue this so-called research. And what they're trying to do is, their goal is, of course, they're always there to help, but to help women have healthy babies, even though they come from families plagued by genetic disorders. So they're actually trying to create, what, a perfect, to eliminate any type of disorder that they could possibly have by introducing three different genes from people. I don't know. It's just, it's monstrous. It's...
Well, I understand. It's monstrous. It's ungodly. It's, I mean, there's
ungodly.
And it's what it's, oh, let's try this. You know, and we were talking during the break. When they say, is this ethical? What they mean is this profitable? Can we make a buck off of it? Because that's what's happened in our world. What passes for right and wrong in an economy is profit and loss. In a nation, you have moral values. You have right and wrong. In an economy, the whole thing is based on profit and loss. And it changes things in a way that's dangerous to people who actually live in the world. They're going to fool around. They're going to keep fooling around with this genetic manipulation. They are refining their ability to do this. And there are going to be kids doing this in their garage before this is all over. I guarantee it's going to happen. I saw something just yesterday where they have apparently they are creating a system where they can assemble the genetic code, which I think consists of only four fundamental elements. And they can, it's like typesetting, you know, where they could, in the old days, you hit the keys in particular instances of type, an E or a T, an A, a B, whatever, came into a sequence, and it was for printing a newspaper. They're going to do this genetically, where you can essentially sit there and simply create living entities with whatever genetic code you want to put in there. It's like programming a computer. Now, I guarantee you this is going to get so simple you'll be able to do it on your home PC before you're done. And there will be people doing this, again, in their garages, to see. Let's see if we can make a combination of a cat and a fish. And then we'll have a real catfish. All right? Half of it will be like a mermaid. There'll be people trying to make mermaids. There'll be contests. So I think I can genetically program someone who is half female and half fish.
Well, they've already have merged humans with animals and so forth. But, you know, it's oh, man, I just can't even imagine what this now. You know, you have to say it, you know, 100 years from now, maybe people
100?
Will be. Well, yeah, it'll be 100 before it's perfected.
I know, but I'll bet you're wrong about that. I'll bet this is coming at us within a decade and maybe 5 years. If it's not already happening. Although in secret. Huh? You know, I can remember the movie Dr. Somebody's Island. I don't remember. Dr. Mabose or something. I don't remember the name of the movie. But it's an old classic horror movie where he is making people, combining people with different animals, and then they finally revolt and they kill him and the rest of that thing. But we're doing it. We're doing it. And no one, and people, is it ethical? Big problem, is it profitable? Right? We can put them in the zoo maybe. Who knows? I don't know. Make people that are half animals, maybe we put them in the zoo. Can we make a buck off of it, though, Melody? That's the question.
Well, it would be 100 years before you have a whole society made of these three people.
No, it'd be a whole society.
Yeah, be a whole society is what I meant. And, you know, the perfect, you know, whatever happened to adopting babies, let's eliminate Planned Parenthood and let's adopt the babies if you can't have one, for Pete's sake. Anyway, that was disturbing, and I just had to share that, and it's kind of in line with what Wendy's talking about. It's like, don't these people have anything else to do that they have to keep messing, and where is all this money coming from that allows them to do all this research? I mean, it costs billions of dollars, and you know, certainly, when you have a large group of billionaires in this world that are close to trillionaires that want to live forever on Mars. Hey,
let them go. Take your friends.
Hey, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's like I'm reading a novel.
It's
like I'm reading some novel, some science fiction novel from 30, 50 years ago. It's just like, and then you've got
science
that
fiction isn't that fictional. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. And then you got the mosquito carrying that disease.
Yeah.
That has initiated the World Health Organization to make it an international emergency. You know, and you see what it does to those poor little babies. But what they're not talking about is what does it do to other people? And where is, you know, supposedly this is coming from modified, genetically modified mosquitoes that were released. You know, that has been the discussion of it. It talks about what happens to little babies, but what happens to people? I've heard that it has a major impact on the elderly. You don't hear anybody talking about that and what it. If it does that to little babies, what does it do to you and me? So, I mean, it's just crazy stuff.
I mean, you and me, referring to elderly. I'm not that elderly.
Well, I wasn't implying. I just said to the elderly and to you and me, we could be any age. Al, that doesn't necessarily mean I was implying that we were elderly. Anyway. What else is going on, Al?
Oh, Rand Paul suspended his presidential campaign.
Did Santorum.
Yeah. He's suspending his presidential campaign, saying it's been an honor to participate in the GOP pie-throwing contest. He didn't actually say pie-throwing contest. He said primary race, but you could say pie-throwing contest. While pledging to continue to fight on in the U.S. Senate. And he says, ours has been a unique voice in this race, one that says big government threatens Americans from all walks of life. Rich and Poor, Black and White, from the coal miner who lost his job over President Obama's destructive EPA regulations, to the teenagers from a poor family facing jail time for marijuana. It's unfortunate that Paul didn't hang around. He wouldn't, you know, it's not as if I think he could win, but I think he added something. And if he'd been there a little bit longer, to me it would have kept the debates perhaps more interesting. But in any case, he's gone, and a couple others are gone. And
what surprises me about, he was number 5 in Iowa, which is not a bad number. But I was really told that his Senate seat is being, I don't know if there's a Democrat, but it's being challenged.
Yeah, I'll bet it
and
is.
That's why
being challenged in the Republican primary.
But that's why
the Republicans
went back.
Want to get rid of him. The Democrats would like to take his seat, but I'll bet the Republicans really want to get rid of Rand.
And so, you know, I understand, you know, we need, you know, he should stay there, but to quit, I don't know, you know, but you know,
he does what he
does. Number
you know,
5 in Iowa.
I don't think he had a chance to win, so it's not an unreasonable thing to do. But
well, he was number 5, but now, you know, but I would have liked to see. But you know what? I didn't think his heart was really in it this time. I don't know. He just,
I don't. You know, I think to some degree he's running on his daddy's coattails,
mm-hmm.
And there's a problem with that. You know, if you have passion to do something yourself, that's one thing.
He just didn't.
If you're inclined to emulate somebody else or follow in your father's footsteps, that's a little bit different. You don't have the same level of motivation. You know, it's like, I'm kind of here and it's working out and I kind of like it, but it's not what I really want to do in the sense that his father was dedicated where Rand was, thought it was a good idea. But I don't think he was passionate the same way his father was.
What's next, Al?
Got an article from CNBC, and I think this is an important article. It's not getting much play per se, but the headline is "Banks Have More Bad News for the Economy." And the article says businesses too are indicating an unwillingness to take on risk as loan demand declined for the first time in about 4 years. Businesses, according to this article, large and medium-sized businesses had an 11% decline, small businesses almost 13% decline in their demand for loans from banks. They're not expanding. They're not trying to, they're not optimistic about what's happening in business. And the implication is that business investment is unlikely to lead the economy out of its doldrums. I think the idea that businesses aren't borrowing to the same degree, decline for the first time in 4 years, it's not like the first decline ever. It's not like the biggest decline in the last 40 years or something like that. We're only talking about 4 years here, but just the same. This is another one of the leaves in the breeze from my perspective. It signals that this economy is not going to get stronger in the near future. Businesses, 10, 12, 13% of them are saying, no, I'm not borrowing any more money. And the reason they're doing that is because they're pessimistic about what's going to happen to the economy over the course of the next few years. So no more less borrowing from businesses. And again, that's evidence that another leaf in the breeze.
I think we talked about that a little bit last week about the business investment is not doing what it should. And again, it's just another sign. Here's an interesting: Germany considers a 5,450 limit on cash transaction.
Mm-hmm.
The German government is considering a limit, 5,000 euros, which is $54.50 in U.S. dollars. And of course, it's to combat money laundering.
Oh, yeah.
Even they're beginning
dealing.
To use money laundering.
And prostitution and terrorism.
No, they changed drug dealing to terrorism. Okay. Uh-huh. Money laundry is still there, but now it's financing of terrorism.
It's not so we can rob the people or oppress them. No, it's not that. It's to protect you people. Out there in Radioland, you're going to be protected by the government when they install, what, even negative interest rates will be coming soon enough, but limits on how much cash you can get out of the bank at any one time. What do you think? What do you think their real motive is for this, Melody?
Oh, to eliminate any type of run on the banks.
I think
Absolutely.
That's the basic idea. Yeah. Yeah. I think the banks are anticipating that all of a sudden the stuff's going to hit the fan. Everybody's going to race to the bank, try to get their money out of the bank, and the maximum they'll be able to withdraw is $5,500 in Germany, and I don't know what it'll be here in the United States.
I mean, hey, which would upset the people? Well, you know, we're here to help you and protect you against terrorism, so, you know, we're going to have to cut down a little bit on the cash transactions. Or, you know, your bank is ready to, ready to fail, and so is the economy, and you can only have $5,000. That would send people up over the, you know, so certainly that would create more of a panic than, hey, we're here to help you from the dangers of terrorism and that nasty money laundering business.
Yeah,
so.
Right. The terrorists. Yeah, the terrorists. When was the last time you were bombed by a terrorist in this country?
The kinder
All right. It was accused 9/11 was blamed on the terrorists, but there's a lot of people who don't think that's precisely accurate. They were blamed, but Muslim terrorists were blamed, but a lot of people think the government is truly responsible for what happened on 9/11. I don't know what the truth of the matter is, but, you know, I'm not losing my rights to terrorists. We have military that goes into the Middle East and people say, oh, they're fighting for our rights. No, they're not. There's nobody in this audience, I doubt there's anyone in this audience that can name two rights that have American rights that have been diminished by the terrorists. The only people taking my rights are the government. And the only people that they intend to take my money is the government. And this business of reducing how much cash you can use and how much you can access out of your bank account and the rest of that sort of thing, I think it's just keeping your accounts at a place where it's easy for someone to steal it all electronically, really by just pushing a keyboard button. And just clean out a bank. Bye. It's gone. Oh. Huh? The speed of light. It's all gone.
Well, as far as I know.
Will that happen? I don't know that. I don't know that for an absolute fact. But the idea is they know there's going to be trouble. They are trying to protect the government rather than the people.
And that's what they do the best. But, of course, we do know that I don't believe the Greek people are still able to, I don't think a lot of those limits and restrictions on their accounts have been reversed as yet.
No.
You know, so they're still having to comply. And you don't hear anything about that. Everybody thinks that, you know, Greece is just back and, you know, doing what they do and so forth. No, they still have problems. And the people still can't get to their money or to, you know, they have to go there every day. They have small accesses to it. And but you don't hear about that anymore. So, folks,
no,
you're not going to hear about
it. It's at least not in our news. It's in Greek news, probably. But I doubt you don't see it in the rest of the world because from my perspective, they don't want people to say, you know, you don't suppose what happened to Greece could happen to us, do you? They don't want that example out there. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back in just a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Where do we want to go next, Melody? Oh, here's one. Here's one. This is in keeping again with this has been our biology day, apparently. The headline, this is from Gizmodo, which follows technology. And the headline is, this biotech startup promises lab-grown pork within 5 years. The future of lab-grown meat is coming, or at least it feels that way based on burgeoning interest in the biotech community. One by one, companies are staking out different animal tissues to grow in vitro for human consumption. First there was beef, then there was chicken, and now there's pork. I didn't even know they'd done this with beef and chicken already. And
done it with fish.
Gee, lab-grown pork, it just sounds so appetizing. I'm going to be really fascinated. I'm sure they'll have a great advertising campaign. They'll argue that it's disease-free. There'll be a bunch of things to promote it. But, oh, my God, Brave New World, turn me loose, lab-grown pork. I don't know. How long before we have lab-grown Spam, Melody?
Not soon enough, I hope.
I don't know how soon we're going to get it, but I don't know. I just sit here and shake my head. Where is this world going?
What's next?
I don't know. I got another one here that's interesting to me, at least. Pentagon, this is from antiwar.com. Headline is Pentagon to use ISIS war to push for bigger budget. The Pentagon's defense budget requested for 2017, expected to be released later this week, is said to include a major increase in funding sought to pay for the ever-escalating ISIS war in the Middle East, with officials saying it will be about 35% higher than last year's ISIS war budget. Pentagon has been facing a lot of internal conflict over spending priorities, something that will probably carry over into the congressional hearings. In the end, though, Congress tends to give the Pentagon everything it wants and more. And the excuse of the ISIS war seems ready-made for more spending hikes. Well, that's interesting, because our government hasn't basically done anything against ISIS. And so what I'm thinking is, instead of raising the Pentagon budget by 35% to fight ISIS, and they haven't done anything up until now to speak of, why don't we just take 10%, don't give them a raise at all, let them just sit on their butts, which is what they're doing primarily, and we'll give 10% to Russia. They're actually attacking ISIS. See, the thing here is Russia seems to know how to wage war, while the Pentagon seems to know how to spend money. Could give them the money, we could get Russia to do our fighting for us. Huh? Cost us less. We could save our taxes would be reduced. I think it's the kind of idea that I think I should send this up to Donald Trump. Maybe he'd go along with that. What do you think, Melody? Would he go for this?
Sure, I think so.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you're sincere when you say that, Melody. What else?
But I did want to remind the listeners that we still have the packages going on the AU $5 Liberty Gold piece, along with the $25 face value of 90% silver. Gold is up strong. I'll still do it for $700 today. It's an AU $5 Liberty Gold piece and $25 face value of 90% silver. We also have the 1 ounce silver eagles along with the AU $5 Liberty gold piece. And that price has really jumped since we were offering those. That special is now $750. It was just a couple of weeks ago. It was $700. I kept it as low as I could for as long as I could. We've got some great prices on American gold eagles and, of course, Canadian maple leaves. So give us a call. And what I found interesting now that January is over with the U.S. Mint and their silver eagles, as I always say, January is a little month to really determine, you know, what the demand is, because you're basically seeing numbers for a month and a half of purchasing. So it's a little difficult to gauge what the numbers are for January. However, for February, for 1 ounce American silver eagles, we're at 1,045,000 in 3 days. So that's an incredible number. If it would stay on this pace, you're looking at about a 7 million ounces for the month of February, which is only 28, 29 days. So we'll see if it stays on track to do that number for February. But I thought that was an incredible number for the beginning of February.
Well, we've had a remarkable, everybody knows, we've had a remarkable upsurge in the price of gold in January, and it appears to be continuing into February. Do you think we've finally seen the big turnaround that everybody's been hoping for and expecting in gold? Have we seen that now?
I think we have.
Up, up, and away? I agree with that. I think we have too. But
you know, I think we've seen the turnaround only because I know what's happening behind the scenes as far as, you know, why the markets are what they're doing and why they're doing. Because of all the bond markets, the junk bonds, that market is unraveling. That doesn't mean we're going to see 2,000 gold, you know, by the end of next week. But and that doesn't mean we can't see any pullbacks. But I think we've seen the last of anything below 1,100 for gold. And I believe this is the last we've seen anything below 1,400 on silver, although silver is a little more volatile than gold. But no.
$14.
Yeah, you're not going to see it. I don't think you'll see anything below $14 anymore. So, no, I think we've seen the turnaround. It's just it's an election year. And, of course, anything can happen in an election year. And they might be able to hold it together a little bit longer until closer to the election or shortly thereafter. But it's going to be an interesting year, folks.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year. Whatever gets us, it won't be boredom.
Folks, the volatility is here. And, hey, when you see mainstream media pushing gold, that's your sign.
Yeah, I know.
That's your sign.
Something and, about that. That should be in Revelation for end times or something. When you see the mainstream media pushing gold, and, I don't know, someplace in Revelation, maybe we'll find that. I got an article here from the Washington Examiner. House fails to override Obama's veto of health care law repeal. Republicans failed to override President Obama's veto of a bill passed in January to repeal his signature health care law. The House has acted dozens of times to repeal all or parts of Obamacare, which they argued Tuesday has driven up health care costs and has hurt the economy by raising business costs. Republicans also noted polls show the law remains unpopular and has forced many to give up their health insurance plans and doctors, despite promises by Obama that they could keep them. The recent 241 to 186 vote fell short of the two-thirds majority required to block the veto. They needed basically another 45 votes to overcome his veto. They didn't get it, and marked an end to a nearly six-year quest by the GOP to repeal the law during Obama's time in office. All right? And the point they're made, the Affordable Care Act is now practically guaranteed to remain on the books for the foreseeable future unless Republicans in November win the House and maintain control, win the White House and maintain control of the House and the Senate. Well, you know, you look at this and you say, well, we'll get them when Obama's gone. And I am skeptical. Right? I think the Republicans, I don't think they're going to get rid of Obamacare. They'll talk about it as long as it'll bring supporters to their party. But I don't think they're going to get rid of Obamacare any sooner than they're going to get rid of abortion. They've had the opportunity in the past during the Bush administration. They didn't bother. I think it's one of the things that it irritates me to become sufficiently cynical. Where you don't even trust these people. I mean, I don't care what they say. I've just reached that point. It doesn't please me to reach that point, but, you know, this article is leaving the hope that they're going to repeal Obamacare after the next election. If Trump gets in and the Republicans win, yada, yada, then they'll take out Obamacare. I bet they don't.
It's too ingrained in the system anymore. They can change it. They'll change it. Yeah. They'll cut it up, slice and dice it, and so forth, but they're not going to repeal the deal. It's here, you know, it's here to stay, and, you know, what can they do? Make it the government program that they want it to be. Make it a one-payer system. I mean, that was supposedly what the whole goal of it was anyway, so.
You know, it's one of those things where you wish you could believe in this government. You know, I really wish I lived in a country where I could believe in the government. I wish I lived in a country where I could trust the government. I can't think of anything they're doing that I believe is in the interest of the middle class, the American people. Right? They talk about it, but what are they doing? And the evidence is how much money continues to go to the super rich. You know, sooner or later, this is all going to blow up in everybody's face. We're all going to be damaged by this. And what galls me as much as anything else is a lot of the perpetrators, and probably all of them, are going to skate away with bags full of money. I'd like to see some retribution. I'd like to see people
who are
responsible held to be made accountable.
Vote for Bernie.
Well, I don't know. You know,
I don't want anybody to think, oh my gosh, she's serious about voting for Bernie. No, I'm not. I'm just. But.
All right.
Here's something. Robots. We talked about this before, how they're boosting productivity by 800%. There's a new bot created by Locus Robotics. It launched in its first warehouse. It's a warehouse robot in Massachusetts, owned by Quiet Logistics. It's a warehousing company that fills online orders for both small startups and mega brands like Zara and Bonobos. Never heard of either one. And these robots, they transport these items that have been picked off the shelves by humans, and they bring them to the front of the warehouse to be sealed and delivery. And, you know, when I was reading this article earlier, you know, it shows the pictures of, you know, just this huge warehouse with nothing but little cubicles, little cubby holes with product in there. And, you know, and I'm thinking, this is what we have become. I mean, no, you know, just... no human touch, no, you know, no, you go online. I mean, it kind of goes back to, you know, changing the genetics, the DNA. It's just like, it's just bizarre. But anyway, the robots transport the items, and what's funny is this Quiet Logistics says, "Oh no, we're not going to change out any humans. These robots are going to work alongside of the humans."
Oh yeah, yeah, that may be true. That may be true, but when the human retires or quits, mm-hmm. there won't be a replacement.
You
and
betcha.
Sooner or later there'll be enough attrition of the humans at the factory where there's not going to be anybody there but the robots. And when you see, and it's an irresistible force, if it's truly an increase in 800% productivity,
800%,
you can't get away from that. Who could turn that down? And it raises incredible problems. What are we going to do in a world where we can't find employment? It may be that half this country can't get a job before then, maybe a lot more than that, 60, 80%. May be replaced by robots. We may have to set things up where each of us receives a robot when we're born. And it's up to us to keep it greased and keep it operating and the rest of that sort of thing. But we rent our lease our robot. I've got a robot. You got a robot. I don't know. Everybody's got a robot. We could lease it to the corporations and our robot would do our work for us.
Well, I
but
promise.
What are we going to do about people who can't work?
Well, I promise the listeners and my clients, I will never have a robot ship your package. That's a promise. But there was also another headline to a world's first robot-run farm will
yep.
harvest 30,000 heads of lettuce daily. So
that's right. I saw the article.
So these guys,
these owners of these
huge farms and mega warehouses and so forth, they can run their robots from Mars.
Hmm. Well, that might be, but how are they going to get their money? We'll send it to them. That's a good idea. All of you multi-billionaires, you go to Mars, you can keep your robots down here, and we'll send you your money by radio waves. Right? Maybe you can spend it up there on Mars. We'll send you digits, ones and zeros. Huh? And some of us, however, will stay here on Earth, and some of us will actually store our wealth in the form of gold and silver. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back mañana. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. Last year.